Nastaprayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam's sixth canto of the sixth chapter of the first canto, verse number 19, page 312 in this edition. The topic of our class is service and separation. So what I'd like to do, we're going to read six or seven verses. So let's go ahead and read the translations through, and then we'll go back and focus on one of the verses. And these are the actual words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, just the translations, verses 19 through 25.
I desired to see again that transcendental form of the Lord, but despite my attempts to concentrate upon the heart with eagerness to view the form again, I could not see him anymore, and thus dissatisfied, I was much aggrieved.
Seeing my attempts in that knowing place, the Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all mundane description, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words just to mitigate my grief.
O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me.
O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires.
By service of the Absolute Truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds.
Intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time, even at the time of recreation as well as the time of annihilation. Your remembrance will continue by my mercy.
Then that supreme authority personified by sound and unseen by eyes but most wonderful stopped speaking. Feeling a sense of gratitude, I offered my obeisances unto him, bowing by my head.
So Narada is fortunate to see the Lord in meditation, and then the Lord disappears. And then he's trying to repeat the experience and can't. So, seeing him very grief-stricken under those circumstances, then the Lord speaks these words. I regret that you won't get to see me again. But I bless you that you will be able to always remember me through chanting of my holy names. And that remembrance will continue throughout the creation and annihilation of the universes. So that is an exceptional benediction, isn't it? That because generally we cannot remember what happened in the previous life. Anyone know that verse from Bhagavad Gita? Chapter 4, yes. Yes, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot. So Narada gets this exceptional blessing that he's going to be able to remember Krishna, although he can't see him again. So hearing all this, then the young boy becomes pacified. So if you would please turn back to verse 20. And yes, let's focus on this this topic brought up in the purport. Yes. In his Narayan form, as I understand, correct? Yeah. In Bollywood, he is. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's always chanting Radhika Ramana, Radhika Ramana. So in Bollywood he chants Narayan, everywhere else he chants Radhika Ramana. So, text 20. Evam, thus, yatantam. One who is engaged in attempting vijane in that lonely place. Mam, unto me. Aham, said, agocharaha, beyond the range of physical sound. Giram, utterances. Gambhira, grave. Shlakshnaya, pleasing to hear. Bacha, words. Shuchaha, grief. Prashamayan, mitigating. Eva, like. Evam yatantam vijane, mam aha gocharo giram. Gambhira shlakshnaya vacha, shuchak prashamayaniva. Evam yatantam vijane, mam aha gocharo giram. Gambhira shlakshnaya vacha, suchat prashamayaniva. Evam yatantam vijane, mam aha gocharo giram. Gambhira shlakshnaya vacha, shuchak prashamayaniva. Please chant. Evam yatantam vijane, mamaha gocharo giram. Gambhira shlakshnaya vacha, yucha prasamayaniva. Evam yatantam vijane, mamaha gocharo giram. Gambhira shlakshnaya vacha, suchan yacha mayaniva. Evam yatantam vijane, mamaha gocharo giram. Gambhira shlakshnaya vacha, sucha prashamayaniva. Evam yatantam vijane, mamaha gocharo giram. Antayira lakshaya vacha, sucha prashamayaniva. And this word for word, the Gambhira, is that the same name as Lord Chaitanya's room in... Is it the same word, actually? Gambhira. His room in Jagannath Puri, where he lived much of his last, was it 16 years? 24 years. Jagannath Puri. Gambhira. OK, Okay, so translation. Seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all mundane description, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words, just to mitigate my grief. Please repeat. Seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all mundane description, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words, just to mitigate my grief. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Vedas, it is said that God is beyond the approach of mundane words and intelligence, and yet by His causeless mercy, one can have suitable senses to hear Him or speak to Him. This is the Lord's inconceivable energy. One upon whom His mercy is bestowed can hear Him. The Lord was much pleased with Narada Muni, and therefore the necessary strength was invested in him so that he could hear the Lord. It is not, however, possible for others to perceive directly the touch of the Lord during the probationary stage of regulative devotional service. It was a special gift for Narada. When he heard the pleasing words of the Lord, the feelings of separation were to some extent mitigated. A devotee in love with God feels always the pangs of separation and is therefore always enwrapped in transcendental ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking with some disciples and he said, there are three kinds of perfection. There is the Nitya Siddha, those who are eternally perfect, and those who are Sadhana Siddha, which means perfect by practice of sadhana bhakti, right? By practice. And there is the kripa siddha. What does that mean? By the mercy, special mercy. And then he turned to a rather portly devotee who was with him and pounded him on the stomach. He said, that means when the spiritual master pounds it into you. That is kripa siddha. So he... Narada was the recipient of this third kind, right? Kripa. The Lord made this special concession because generally in the probationary stage, which is known as Vaidhi Bhakti, we do not have the darshan of the Lord to the extent that we feel these ecstatic feelings of separation. It's not that there is no attachment to Krishna in the beginning stages. There has to be attachment. One devotee asked Prabhupada, I'm serving Krishna all day, but I'm not thinking of him. And Prabhupada said, it is not possible to serve someone without thinking of them. So this is the mercy of devotional service, is that even if we're not thinking about Krishna ecstatically, we can do the next best thing by being engaged in his service. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the best thing is to just think of me always. But if you can't do that, then Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena. Follow the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga. In the probationary stage, then, the ecstasy of seeing Krishna is rare. It only happens by Kripa Siddha. We have not earned or become qualified yet. In the advanced stage of Bhakti, Raganuga, spontaneous love, then that's a different matter. So when we talk about separation, it's generally in the latter stage of devotional service, in the spontaneous stage of attachment. And when there is association with the Lord, that's called sambhoga. Together, the devotee, the bhakta and Bhagavan are together, and then it's a great exchange of ecstasy. There are so many examples of this throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord is not a loner. He does not. He's not a recluse. He likes to have friends and associates of different relationships. So that brings him pleasure, and it brings the devotee unparalleled pleasure. This is sambhoga. But when there is separation between the Lord and his devotee, then it's called what? Vipralamba. I remember many years ago in Portland. Our temple president went away to India and left me in charge, and the house where we were renting, the landlord kicked us out. So I had to find another place, and we had no money, and I found this rickety old house downtown in Portland that we moved into just to tide us over. And then we had a visit from a very exalted devotee, His Holiness Satsarup Maharaj. Satsarup Maharaj had just come from serving Srila Prabhupada for some time, a year or more, I think. And he had been with Prabhupada constantly. So for all of us who had at best seen Prabhupada in a class, never had his personal association, this seemed like the most unbelievable spiritual experience, to be with Prabhupada constantly. And yet he had come back. So he asked me to help him shave his head. So as I was shaving his head, I had a captive audience. So I took the opportunity and asked him, so what is more pleasurable, serving Srila Prabhupada personally or being out in the field? And he immediately said, with conviction, which really surprised me, serving in separation is the highest ecstasy. I was taken aback. Because, you know, we were always serving in separation. This separation is considered, the Vipralamba Seva is considered a higher level of Krishna consciousness than Sambhoga. The queens in Dwarka are serving Krishna in this Sambhoga. They're with him. But the gopis in Vrindavan are in separation, Vipralamba. So in the 10th canto, there's a great deal of discussion about this unparalleled devotion of the gopis. When Krishna had been away for some time from Vrindavan, he knew that the residents of Vrindavan were missing him. So he sent one of his Sambhoga associates, Uddhava, to go and give them a message, a special message to the residents of Vrindavan. So Uddhava had the qualities, the external appearance of Krishna. He looked like him, he dressed like him, he was related. So when he arrived, they knew it wasn't Krishna, but all the residents of Vrindavan were very excited to see him. He went directly to the home of Krishna's father and mother, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And there they had some intimate discussions, and they were expressing how much they missed their son. And then the gopis, the next morning when the sun rose, they looked out and saw, here's this fancy chariot in front of Nanda Maharaj's home. So the first thing they thought was very cynical. They said, oh, maybe this is Akrura. And the last time they saw a fancy chariot, it was Akrura coming to collect Krishna and take him to Mathura at the invitation of King Kamsa. And so they said, oh, maybe Akrura sent us more good news. Maybe now he's come to take our bodies to use as firewood for Kamsa's funeral. Really caustic. And then Uddhava walked out, and they were all suddenly in a much different mood. They were absolutely struck because he reminded them so much of Krishna. So being very simple village girls, they all just walked up to him and just stood there kind of staring at him. And Uddhava was saying, okay. He was praying to Krishna, okay. Uddhava gradually began to understand this mood of Vipralamba Seva that the gopis were manifesting. He especially was struck by it when Radharani was walking alone, and she began a conversation with a bee. So this bee was just buzzing around her, which was common because the bees were always seeking the nectar. And this particular bee, she looked at him and began and struck up a conversation. Uddhava was watching all of this. And she said, I see that you have kum-kum on your whiskers. I see what you're doing. You're going for my feet, trying to be very diplomatic. But I know that Krishna has sent you, and you are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. She starts chastising him. And And then the bee went away. And then she immediately said, oh no, I've offended him. And then he came back again and said, oh, how are things? I'm so happy to see you. And Uddhava's watching all of this very bizarre behavior and just trying to fathom what's going on. Then she spoke to the bee very, very nicely and said, oh, how is my dear Krishna? How is he doing? Certainly he must be very happy in Mathura, and certainly all the ladies of Mathura must be very happy to see him. Have I offended you? Please accept my service. In this way she's speaking very sweetly to the bee. So in the mood of separation, there is a little bit of irrational or unnatural or not normal behavior. This is experienced sometimes if you ever have a friend who's broken up over a relationship or feeling homesick, being away from the family for an extended period. Everything is normal. They're physically intact. There's no catastrophes externally. But within themselves, they cannot connect with what's going on around them. Always just absorbed in the thought of the person they are missing and feeling very conflicted emotions about it. Sometimes there's a sense of, oh, that person, I'm glad to have them out of my life. And the next moment, I miss them so much. So the gopis are going through this kind of roller coaster in their emotions with Krishna. And Uddhava sees all this, and then he tells them that your devotion is just absolutely unparalleled. Then he gives them a message, this confidential message that Krishna had sent. And the message says, in essence, how could I ever be separated from you? Everything that you see is just my energy. So how could we ever be separated? So in this way he appeases their heart. They accepted it this time. Later they got a similar message and did not accept it. But that's another pastime. So this is service and separation. The gopis manifested this mood, made them a little nutty and incomprehensible to externally. But they were feeling the same intense emotional separation from Krishna that an ordinary person might feel from a loved one. In the aftermath of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan codified and expanded the message that he gave, which was essentially, Ashlishyava padaratam panashtumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva. My Lord, you may make me happy by being present before me or break my heart by not being present. You're completely free to do anything and everything. And still you're my worshipful Lord unconditionally. This is the Vipralamba Seva, the same feeling of separation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed this as the highest teaching of Krishna consciousness. So the Goswamis of Vrindavan extrapolated or expanded upon that message and wrote many, many books about these subjects of Radha Krishna Leela and separation and service and separation. So in describing them, Srinivasacharya wrote that they too imbibe this mood of separation. Hey Radhe, Braja Devike Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kata. They were running around Vrindavan saying, ah, Radhe, oh Krishna, where have you gone? Shri Govardhan, Kalpapada, Patale, Kalindi, Tane, Vane Kutam. Are you down? Are you on the hill of Govardhan, or down by the Jamuna River, or in the forest of Vrindavan? Where are you? Where are you? Goshanta Viti Sarvatro, Rajapare, Kedaira Mahavibalo. These were the moods they manifested in the peak, in the culmination of their devotional service. This is, in other words, possible. The same feelings of separation the gopis were feeling can be felt by very, very advanced devotees. That is a high stage, to feel separation from Krishna that affects one emotionally and affects one's behavior. that is very difficult for us to even get our heads around, you know, in the beginning stages. But there is a kind of separation that all of us can experience, and maybe some of us have already experienced in our devotional service. What is that separation? Yes, from the Association of Devotees. When Lord Chaitanya was speaking with his disciple, Ramananda Roy, he was actually told to go to Ramananda Roy to inquire about Krishna consciousness by Sarvabhauma, right? So he asked him many, many questions about devotional service. And Ramananda Roy protested, I cannot tell you anything about devotional service. But Lord Chaitanya insisted, you must tell me. And so Ramananda Roy said, okay, I'm just a puppet. You're the puppet master. Because you are telling me to speak, I will speak. So Lord Chaitanya asked him many questions. One of them is, what is the most painful thing in the world? To which Ramananda Roy said, any pain is tolerable in this world except the separation from devotees. That pain is intolerable. So this is something we can't experience ourselves. I remember I had this wonderful service for some years of being the secretary at the GBC meetings in Mayapur. So each year I'd go and help set up the meetings and then work with all these wonderful devotees, incredible devotees, you know, 30 or 40 of them assembled from all over the world, dealing with all of these very interesting issues, sometimes very difficult, sometimes very blissful. But everyone together, working hard, hearing and chanting together, laughing together, taking prasadam together, just wonderful experience. And it would last for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden it would be done. And in my service, I had to stay a little after to wrap things up. But the feeling, when all of a sudden everyone's going, I just felt like running out and grabbing them, saying, no, you can't go. You know, it was the most intense experience of that separation I have ever had. Just a kind of a devastating, depressing, unacceptable feeling. So that we can all experience, from being in the association of devotees to not being in the association, can be very disconcerting emotionally and spiritually. So it seems very easy to be Krishna conscious in the association of devotees. In fact, it is. It's very natural and easy. If everyone else is bowing down, you bow down too, and then it's natural and it's blissful, and everyone's having a good time and laughing and, you know, eating prasadam and becoming close friends. Then all of a sudden, by circumstances, we're separated. And we're thinking, yeah, okay, I got this down. I got this Krishna consciousness down. Now I'll go out and I'll just do my own thing, whatever. And then all of a sudden, in the absence of all this supportive association, practicing Krishna consciousness becomes a whole new thing. It can be very, very challenging. So the association of devotees is never to be taken for granted. And, you know, I've used the example many times. You can't tell how much advancement you're making because it's so subtle. But it's like being on an airplane. When you're on the plane, it doesn't feel like you're going very fast, although you may be traveling, was it 700, 800 miles an hour in a commercial airliner? Yeah, very fast. You don't feel like you're moving at all. But if you stick your head out the window, then you will notice how fast you were moving. See? Yes, they say on the flights that, yes, our smoking section is located on the right wing. We'll be showing our feature film there, Gone with the Wind. If we step out of the association of devotees, then we may very quickly understand, whoa, how much spiritual advancement we were making in that association. That kind of separation is inevitable for us all. Because we are together for some time, then we'll separate. That's just the nature of the material world. So nobody can stay together, no matter how much they may try. What is it about the association of devotees that gives us this sense of separation? in the process of bhakti, there's 9 stages. The beginning stage is what? Adal Shraddha, some preliminary faith, right? Followed by Sadhu Sangha. So some preliminary faith leads us mystically to the association of devotees. And then in Sadhu Sangha, we begin Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya, we regulated practice of devotional service. Now, living in the devotional, in association of devotees, automatically has this effect. As we read in the second chapter of this canto, Tada rajas tamo bhava kama labhadayaschaye cheta etaranabhidham stipam sattve prasidati. One comes to the platform of goodness. Most of us did not have a great deal of acquaintance with the mode of goodness prior to Bhajana Kriya. Okay? But the mode of goodness, there's a nice purport in this section we don't have time to read right now, unfortunately, but it talks about this subject, that shedding passion and ignorance, coming to the mode of goodness, just as Narada went to the forest, you know, to meditate. He was there, he found Krishna there and situated in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada writes in that purport that you don't find God by just going to the forest. Just being in the mode of goodness is not enough, but it's an excellent gateway to realizing God. So Bhajana Kriya brings us to the mode of goodness. Very quickly, when we leave the association of devotees, that is tested. You know, will we still regulate our sleeping, getting up early, going to bed early? Will we still regulate our eating, you know, only prasadam or only whatever? You know, will we still be able to chant our rounds? Will we still have an interest in spiritual life? All these things will be tested as soon as we leave the association of devotees. So Bhajana Kriya begins and is practiced fairly easily in the Sadhu Sangha. And after Bhajana Kriya comes what? Anartha Nivritti. All the unwanted things in the heart become removed. That is a gradual process, sometimes painful, sometimes very liberating, but it happens inexorably when we live in the association of devotees and practice Bhajana Kriya. That Anartha Nivritti. You know, education used to be meant for developing people of character. Now it's meant for developing people of commerce. Yeah. But character is enhanced by this anartha nivritti, by the removal of bad habits. So after that stage comes what? Nishtha. Nishtha means firm faith. This is the pivotal stage. This is the stage where it switches from being the Vaidhi into the more Raganuga stages. So, at least at Krishna House, we hope to bring people in 2 semesters to the stage of Nishtha, where there's firm faith. The Anartha Nivritti may not be over yet, but at least there's enough of an experience of devotional service that, oh yes, this is something that I want to remain, to keep in my life forever. So in his speech to Narada Muni, the Lord uses this phrase that somebody who's not mature in their devotion is hardly fit to see me. That word mature is also used in an earlier verse in the last chapter. Taktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajana pakpho ta patetato yadi yatra kvava badram abud musyukim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmata. Giving his instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam to Vyasadeva, Narada says that one may take up devotional service and fall down, not be able to maintain it. Still, what is the loss? On the other hand, someone who's totally successful in material life, what is their gain? See, they're going to lose it all of their gains. Whereas a devotee who can't make it all the way still gets a permanent benefit of having tried. And that devotion will resurrect and resume at some point in the future. So, this is immature. Due to immaturity, we may lose the association of devotees, or due to circumstances, we may lose it. Will we be nishtha? Arjuna asked Krishna this question in the second chapter. Very interesting question. What is the quality of one who has attained transcendental consciousness? How do they sit? How do they walk? How do they speak? Right? So, in reply, Krishna says, Prajahati yada kaman sarva partha manogatam. Atman yevatmana tushta. What does tushta mean? Satisfied. Stita pragya tadoshite. One who gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification that arise from the mind, and one who finds satisfaction in the self alone, that person is said to be in transcendental consciousness. So the word is tushta. Can we be happy? Can we find happiness in Krishna consciousness, whether we're in the association of devotees or not? That is nishta. See? So there, Maya has two potencies. First, the potency to throw the living entity who desires to be away from Krishna into the material world. That's one. And then the other is covering the living entity to convince him that this is great. I'm having a great time here in the material world. So the throwing potency and covering potency. So conversely, we can look at devotional service like that. There's one facet coming up to the transcendental stage, up to nishta. And then there's the second element of living on that level, okay, and staying in Krishna consciousness. So that experience is very much individual, internal. It cannot be evaluated on externals. Somebody may be very Krishna conscious and look for the world like an ordinary materialistic person, but they're chanting their rounds. They are controlling their senses. They are thinking within themselves about how to render service to Guru and Krishna and doing it to the best of their ability. Though externally they may look like an ordinary employee or business person or whatever. So we cannot evaluate somebody's consciousness based on their external appearance. We actually have to get to know them. We have to see how they live. We have to see if how important their spiritual life is to them. So it's not always easy, right? Those of us who have raised families, who have worked, who have been in circumstances where we have to live for extended time without the association of devotees, right? There's nobody who's going to see if you don't get up and chant your rounds, right? There's nobody who's going to be watching you except... Yeah, who? Wait, what was that, Joe? The four directions. the super soul, yes. The super soul is watching. But then you experience, you see. Experience. If I don't keep my Krishna conscious practices, then yeah, nobody's going to say boo. But I'll just start feeling so much... unhappiness and dissatisfaction. Even if externally everything is fine, I'll be feeling lacking and emptiness. Something that was there before is now gone. On the other hand, if I remember Krishna, even if things externally are a mess and I'm not going my way, it doesn't matter. Why? Atmani evatmana tushta. Finding that happiness within. You know, today there's a lot of talk about alternative energy sources. And the foremost, the greatest of all alternative energy sources is Krishna consciousness. Because one can be inspired from within under any circumstances. One can become energized just thinking about Krishna, just hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, rendering service. That energizes one in a way that is inconceivable to those who have never experienced it. So this is why in discussing the experience of an immature devotee, Narada says that someone who has tasted once the nectar of the lotus feet of Krishna can never forget that taste. So I'm here to confess this morning that we have tricked all of you here at Krishna House. We should have warned, and someday Congress may require us to put a warning label on the mantra, that once you chant this mantra and once you taste a little bit of devotional service. It will be very difficult for you to find satisfaction in ordinary life. Your enthusiasm for ordinary life will be, if not diminished, destroyed. It will at least be diminished. You know, I mean, if we devotees could just manifest 5% of the conviction and enthusiasm that people have for material life, we'd take over the world in a week. You know, I mean, you know, 90,000 people can gather over there, go Gators, and pay $50 for the privilege to sit out in the elements on some piece of wood with no back. Go Gators. I mean, that's conviction. You know, they are fixed up, right? They have like nishta for material life. Gator nishta. So, Rupa Goswami says that if you at all want to hold on to your enthusiasm for material life, then don't go down to the river Jamuna and see that little blue boy playing the flute. Because if you do, you'll never go back. Want to go back. So, this is the warning. For you all, it's too late. But when you get a taste for the association of devotees, then you will feel separation from it when you lose it. And if you nurture that desire to be back in that association, Krishna will help you. It's a mystical process. What is it? Brahmite Bharate Konya Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. After wandering all over the universe, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, one gets the association of devotees. So it is a very, just as Narada got that special benediction from the Lord to see him have his darshan, so we get the special benediction to have devotees, sadhu sangha. In that association, or with that benefit of that association, that nishta, then we go on to the higher stages of devotional service, where there's real a taste for the practice, rati, and then ashakti, right? Intense desire, followed by bhava and prema. And in those stages, the separation from Krishna becomes unbearable. So, any comments or questions?
I was just thinking, in my own devotional life, I've been associating with the devotees now for 9 years, and you know, eating prasadam, going to the temple and all of that, but still I find that many times, like these, it's like my faith is I've got good faith and I'm participating and I'm feeling the bliss, and then this like cloud comes that covers the sun, you know, this. And I'm just thinking now that when you were talking about nishta, like how can I get to that place of like firm conviction where that cloud doesn't come anymore from time to time?
That cloud is called doubts. You know, and we doubt the process, we doubt ourselves, our ability to practice it, we doubt the shastras, we doubt the holy names. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna, Madhusudana, he calls it Madhusudana, please kill these demons of doubt that I'm experiencing. So that's one approach, to pray to Krishna. I'm feeling these doubts, please help me with them. We can also discuss them. There's no topic that can't be brought up to the devotees. We all need a mentor, and we need to be able to take those doubts to a mentor and say, this is what I'm experiencing, this is what I'm feeling. We will find, if we do that, that what we're experiencing has been experienced many, many times before by many great devotees. We've been in the material world a long time. There's a long habituated existence behind us we're trying to break. So an ordinary bad habit takes 40 days, they say, to break, you know, a bad habit, or to make a new one. Prabhupada was asked by Chiru Prabhu, how long does it take to become purified? He said, about 40 years. So it's a long process by our material calculations. But it's an infinitesimal amount of time when you consider how many lifetimes we've been in the material world. So, you know, the mind will tell us you're missing so much by being in Krishna consciousness. You're missing all this fun. You're missing all these good times. You're missing all these experiences. You're missing all this economic development. You're missing all this, all these relationships, all this sense gratification. Ordinary things. They're normal things. I was speaking with a friend the other day who talked about his in-laws who were not terribly inspired about Krishna consciousness, but liberal and tolerant. But they couldn't get their heads around this part, just saying, oh, well, you know, don't you go to a bar once in a while? I mean, it's just normal. So even liberal people, you know, find it extreme. Unless there's a taste, you know, or until there's a taste, a really strong taste, then those doubts will always be there. So one thing I found helpful, and this is such a really good question, I'm dwelling on it a little too long, but one thing I found helpful is to realize that I don't have to be perfect. Krishna doesn't even expect me to be perfect. Why am I expecting myself to be perfect? I don't want those doubts. I wish they weren't there, but I've got them, so I could just pretend they aren't there. You know, that's one strategy, but that really doesn't work because it's not real. So we just have to go before the deity and say, here I am with all my doubts, with all my anarthas, with all of my shortcomings and imperfections, and I'm offering myself to you. It's like if you're in the kitchen and you cook something and you burn it, like part of it, well, that's your offering. You don't have time to cook another one. Here it is, Krishna, I'm sorry. With all its imperfections, this is my offering today. Tomorrow I'll do better, but today this is what I have to offer. You please accept it, because it's all you're getting from me. And Krishna is so kind that he'll accept it, even if it's not perfect. And those doubts will be there someday, and other days they won't. And you know, some days we'll feel it's all like, yeah, it's back to home express. And other days it's like, oh, you know. So that's just part of the beginning stages of devotional service. It's not steady. Prabhupada compared it to a boat with the water causing disruptions, you know, causing unsteadiness. And he said, as one becomes experienced in the boat, then the waves will come, but one will know how to stay steady. So the waves will keep coming. They'll always be coming. It's just how do they affect us? And we measure that effect in terms of what are we actually doing. You know, if it drives us into our mind, oh, I start thinking about the past. If I had only done this or only done that, that's the mode of ignorance. Or if I start thinking about the future, oh, man, I've really got to push myself. I've got to do this. That's the mode of passion. You know, so if it pushes us out of the present moment, then we're being affected unduly. We have to keep our consciousness focused in the present service to Krishna. And that way, we just by perseverance, we stop the influence of these doubts, and they're affecting us. That makes sense? Okay, very nice question. Any other questions? Comments? Anyone else like to address this? Any other strategies for this phenomenon?
Well, I had a separate question. The Vipralamba Seva, I've kind of pondered upon this question for many times. Vipralamba Seva, and then all those devotees that we know who have served, you know, who have enjoyed that taste of Vipralamba Seva, like Six Goswamis and other great acharyas. From modern psychological standpoint, analyzing that, one would think that, you know, that the same mental state as depression. You know? So how does one understand that and, you know, try to not definitely, you know, like aspire for the Rupalamba Seva or, you know, make come to sense with it, come to terms with it.
The course, the difference between Vipralamba Seva and depression is that Vipralamba Seva is ecstasy. We don't find the gopis taking antidepressants. They are very happy in their separation, although they're shedding tears. The great spiritual master Madhavendra Puri, who introduced this Vipralamba Seva in our line, he was on his disappearance bed and feeling these pangs of separation from Krishna. So he spoke a verse, Aho Dinade, I can't remember it, the Bengali, but he says that, oh, master of Mathura, when will I see you again? So he had one foolish disciple there named Ramachandra Puri who said, Gurudev, why are you lamenting? It says in Bhagavad Gita, na sochati na kanchati, you should not hanker or lament. So why are you lamenting? And Madhavendra Puri said, get out of my vision, you fool. Could not understand his mood at all. So it's ecstasy, it's not sadness.